story is, it's actually like no other story we've ever heard. Well, it's a story we've heard before, but it's just like this one is a step above. This one is more magnificent. This one is more powerful than any story that we've ever heard, because love came down. A star lit the sky. Glory. It was the cry of the angelic host. Peace broke out. Good news of great joy. It was for all people, and this was the proclamation. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, the Son of God, the Everlasting Father, the Savior of the world. These were among just a few of his titles. There have been very few people in the history of this world who have ever had the kind of influence or the kind of power to shift even one society. But the one that we come to celebrate here tonight, he did way, way more than that. He bent all of history unto himself. Christmas bends all of history unto itself. And the weightiest part of it is this, that love came down. God sent his best. Heaven came near. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. The word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw his glory with our own eyes. A one-of-a-kind glory. Like Father, like Son, generous, inside and out, true, from start to finish. This story, so good. This story, so magnificent. This story, so, so beautiful, that the telling of this story again and again, again and again, and again and again, and again and again, year after year after year, after thousands of years now, only adds to its magnificence and takes nothing away from it. The story is too good, too true, too powerful for us in the telling of it to do anything but to revel in it. And it began this way, in a town called Bethlehem. And prior to that, in a place that we can only describe as the very heart of God, the mind of God, a dream for the world, a longing for this place called planet Earth. And in this area of Bethlehem, there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David is a Savior, and he has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with that angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. These shepherds, the first to hear the story, they found Jesus lying in a manger, wrapped in cloths, just as they had been told. And I suppose what happened before this is just one of those things in this world that is so incredible. We will never forget it, we who have witnessed it. And I had opportunity to witness it two times. Once with our son and once with our daughter. That moment when a child for the first time breathes in air into their little lungs and exhales that air and fills that room with that beautiful sound. The first time you hear their voice and the cry that fills the room. We could say that what these shepherds missed just prior to that was something that had happened so many other times in this world that this could, in one sense, just be another birth, another story, another woman whose time had come, another man who sat there with anticipation about what was about to happen. That moment when that child breathed in, inhaled for the first time and exhaled past their vocal cords, giving voice to that beautiful cry that fills the room and changes your world forever. We could say this was just another birth. In one sense, the birth of Christ, just like so many other births that had come before and so many others that came after, preceded by so many and succeeded by so many, that it was just another birth, but not this one. This birth was unlike any other birth in this sense. This wasn't just a child that was born to a woman and to a man. This was God that was born into this world. This was the one who created all things becoming created. This was God becoming human. And while some of those bystanders or those maybe in that night were listening in, wondering, just like many of us would in that moment, is this just another birth? We hear another woman who's going through her birth pains and a man who's standing by. And then the lungs filling and exhaling and that beautiful cry and maybe the words, it's a boy. While they're wondering about this birth and thinking it's just another one, like the ones before and the ones after, we know so much more. Because of what the angel spoke to the shepherds, and the shepherds then told in the angelic hosts that were in the sky that he whose breath sustains all life, he who breathes life into existence, was now, for the first time as a human baby, sucking in air to his own lungs to sustain his own life. He who held all of creation in his hands and sustained it by his hands chose to become human and be placed into the hands of a peasant woman, a young woman who would hold him and nurse him and burp him and change his diapers, that would take care of him, perhaps like so many of us in this room when our children were ill and feeling that fever, that we would hold them and they would just rest in our arms. The Creator became created. The one of timeless eternity chose to be strapped to time. God had skin and bone, two eyes, two ears, and a nose. The divine God had become one of us. And it's not often that we focus on the human side of God, especially on a night like tonight. We would focus on the divine, the God who came among us. But God actually chose to come among us in the form of a human. Runny noses would be his experience, ours too. Headaches, his experience, ours too. Urges that we feel, his too. Temptations that we experience, yes, the Bible's really clear about it. Every temptation that has ever been known came his direction, which means for him to drink a cup of water that was It was polluted. It had bacteria in it that was not good for you. It would do the same thing to his intestines that it would do to ours. Stubbing his toe would do the same thing to him, cause him to hop around and be in pain the same way it would cause us to hop around and be in pain. A cut, a bruise, a bump, feeling queasy, a bit uncomfortable, feeling out of sorts. Part of his normal routine. Again, we don't like to think about this too often. We don't talk about this side of God too often, Jesus too often. It doesn't feel holy. It feels kind of earthy. It feels human. And a real human is actually what God became. That is what Christmas is all about. And we ought to warm up to and embrace the human side of God. Yes, Jesus was fully divine, but he was also fully human. And the human side of it, we ought to embrace especially on a night like tonight, because that is what God embraced. He put on flesh and bone and became one of us. And I actually think it makes the story of Christmas powerful. It makes the life of Jesus absolutely powerful. Because to think about his life, where he said, you should love your enemies. And you should actually be willing to forgive people. And if people do you a wrong turn, you ought to be the ones that don't do a wrong turn back to them, but do them good. It'd be one thing if it was just the divine, if it was just God up on his throne speaking that word to us and saying, all y'all humans, you ought to get it right. I've been watching you. You do not live well among each other. And when it comes to this enemy thing, man, you form alliances quick. You hold on to stuff for way too long. And willingness to forgive, man, you just don't do it well. And I'm going to give you a piece of advice, planet Earth, from my throne, from my place of holiness to you, unholy people. You ought to treat each other a whole lot better. But God came down. Love came down and dwelt among us. And God became human. And Jesus, human flesh and bone, experiencing what we experience, tasting what we taste, feeling what we feel. He had real enemies, real enemies. They really did not like him. He had people that really did him wrong. And those that he loved hurt them terribly and hurt him. And this one who felt the hurt had this heart that beat in sync with God's heart, had this way about him that was willing to forgive and to restore relationship wherever he could do it. God drew close to us. Love came down among us. And we wonder, how close did it become? So close that Jesus came and he scooped up children and he put them on his lap and he would converse with these children and laugh with these children and delight with these children that close. How close? Well, there was this woman who was being mistreated by a group of people and they thought they had the right to do that because she had done something terribly wrong. And so they dragged her out into public to shame her before all of the public. And Jesus looked at her and his human heart breaking for her and his human body moving in response to her. And he reached over and he touched her in the midst of the crowd, lifting up her face, looking with his human eyes into her eyes. And she saw something there that was different than those that were shaming her. She saw something that proceeded from a heart and eventually from his lips that said, you're okay with me. I don't reject you. Stand up. You're received by me. He was walking down the road. How close? Close enough that as he was going down the road, he saw a man that nobody else really liked at all. And they mistreated him. He said, looks like you need a friend. I'll be your friend. I'll come to your house today. Let's sit down and converse and eat with one another. How close? How close? He ate and he drank with his dear friends. How close? There was a moment where he just wept. How many of us have been there? I've been here, sitting around the bedside with a dear friend of yours and watching them gasp for their last breath and dying. And he showed up and he saw the crowd that was crying, and then Mary and Martha and Lazarus is gone, and wept with them. Wept with them. How close? Close enough that in that human body of his that felt what we feel and experienced what we experienced and had nerve endings like our nerve endings, and he was hanging on a cross in excruciating pain, and he looked down at how to add to this pain that was physical, the pain that he must have felt when he looked down at John, his youngest student, his dear student, the one that was likely the one he was closest to. And John, maybe 8, 9 years old, when he took him in and he watched over this young boy, 9, 10, 11, maybe 12 years old at this point. And Jesus is looking at him going, man, he needs somebody to watch over him. And then he looks over and he sees his mom. What's that? What is he feeling? Mom, you're going to need somebody too. John, your mother. Mom, we be a mom to John. He's going to need somebody. Close enough that when God came into earth and became one of us, that very act bent all of history unto itself. Yeah, there was no other night like this night. No other story that is anything like this story. God drew close enough to show us who God is. That's what this is about. God drew close enough to show us who God is. Remember the angel speaking to Mary and informing Mary, you're going to have a child. And she's like, time out. How is that possible? I'm a virgin. And the angel spoke to her saying, you will be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Meaning, God would give birth to God's self. God would give birth to himself. This is mind-blowing. That he would put on display for us himself for this world. He would move in, and in giving birth to himself in the form of a human, he would put on display that we could see with our own eyes the unchanging love, the unchanging grace, the unchanging character of an unchanging, gracious God full of character. And this is the reason I believe that angel said, and we read, I'm bringing you good news, and it's of great joy, and it's for all people. For unto you has been born a Savior. Unto you, God has come to show you who he is. And it's in the city of David, and his name is Jesus. He is your Savior. He is the Messiah. And that news, it is echoed from that moment, and it reverberated both directions. From that moment back, we can see what God was up to. And that moment forward, the world would never be the same again. When we think about the very dawn of history, the echoes going backwards, to be able to see who God was in the beginning, God spoke, and in order to speak, you have to exhale, envision God inhaling and exhaling. And by his breath, all things were made because His breath brings life. And taking a mound of dirt and breathing into that dirt. And what happens is the first man stands up fully alive. I wonder, how close do you need to be in order to breathe life into someone? We read of a man named Adam and a woman named Eve who walked in the garden with God. We read of another man named Moses who had this conversation with God. And it was said that he had this relationship where he was face to face having conversation with God. And then Moses at one point bravely reaching out to God and saying, "Please, I want to see you with my own eyes." And God said, "I will show you part of myself." I wonder tonight, how close do you need to be in order to walk with somebody? How close do you need to be in order to talk face to face with somebody? How close do you need to be to show someone a part of yourself? There was this guy named David. And David, at one point in his life, after the leverage of years and experience, at times wondering, where is God? But now, in his older age, looking back on his life, saying, "I can't come up with a single time where God wasn't with me. Even when I was in utter darkness and I didn't know where to take my next step, I didn't know where to go. You reached out and your right hand, it guided me. And when I made my bed in the depths, you showed up." I wonder, how close do we need to be in order to reach out our hand and touch somebody and guide them? How close do you need to be? How connected, how heart to heart, how intimate do we need to be that even when somebody makes their bed and they deserve to lie in it, even when they have royally messed up, I'm so a part of you and you a part of me. I'm going nowhere. I'll be with you. From the book of Deuteronomy, the early book of the Bible, all the way to the book of Hebrews, a later book of the Bible, we see this repeated again and again and again. This statement that God said, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'll be with you." And then the revelation of John. This man had a glimpse. God showed him a glimpse into heaven. And what he saw there, it was too much to fully capture. But he described the one who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Not one who was in the beginning and is going to be someday over here in the end. Not one who said, "I used to be the beginning and one day I'm going to be the end." The one who is the Alpha and is the Omega. The one who is the beginning and is the end. The one who holds all of time in himself. Speaking from his throne and saying, "What I'm about to say, write it down. For it's trustworthy and it's true. I will dwell with my people." How close do you need to be to move right in with them? And he said, "And I will wipe every tear from their eye. And there will be no more mourning. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more sorrow. There will be no more tears. No more." How close do you need to be in order to wipe a tear from somebody's face? How close do you need to be to reach in and to find that pain that is inside, that mourning that is still inside, that seat of tears, that holding place of tears, and to grab hold of it and to just pull it out forever and say, "No more resides in you." This is our God. This is He who put Himself on display for us. This is what Christmas is all about. And so I want to say tonight, in the deepest sense of what this is, I want to say, Merry Christmas to every single one of you. To the widow who sometimes feels alone, but is never alone. Sometimes feels lonely, but recognizes there is one who's always with. To you who are parents of children that are here on earth, and maybe a child or two that's already in heaven, who feel that place inside of you that is still not right and won't be right until you're back together again with that child that has gone before you, knowing that that child isn't alone but is fully with the one who said, I will not leave you, I will not forsake you. To you who are teenagers that are going through life trying to find your place, to you who have so many questions, to you who deal with some form of depression or hurt, to you who are struggling somewhere relationally, to some of us here who feel like we're on top of it, and others of us that feel like we're underneath it and we don't know how to get on top of it. For those of us that feel like, man, I got this world by the tail, and others who feel like our tails are getting kicked, I want to say to you, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. And I want to echo the words of the angel that were no more true then than they are now and are equally true now, even as they were then. I am here tonight to bring you good news. All of you, good news of great joy that is for all people. I'm here to bring you good news right in that place that you sit, right with the story that you have, right into your existence and all that you are, to let you know that a Savior's been born. A child's been given. He came and experienced our experiences and tastes our tastes and feels our feels and knows what we deal with. He knows you and he is close to you. He came down to be with you. That is the story of Christmas, the greatest story of all. Amen. Amen. And so, Merry Christmas, and God bless. Father, oh, you are so, so good. So many other people in the history of this world, I've had a guess about what their gods are up to, if they're angry, if they've been appeased, not knowing who they were, but not so with you. You came down, you came near, you moved into the neighborhood, you put on display who you were so that we, your people, might actually feel and know and experience your goodness in the land of the living. And we would have hope that it's only just begun. That we could cling to the promise. You who came into this world, you're not done. You have declared over us, I couldn't possibly leave you. It's not in my nature. I am not capable of forsaking you. It is not in my character. My love for you, it extended all the way to the cross. It rose up out of the grave and it claimed you as my own, now and forever. You who are close enough to pull up children on your lap, close enough to breathe life, close enough to talk, close enough to walk with, close enough to wipe away our tears and pull out our pain. You who have come near to us, we bless you and we honor you and we celebrate you on this Christmas Eve. We remember that you came into this world and it was good news, and not just some joy, but great joy. And not just for some people outside of these walls, but for us who are sitting right here in our story. Good news, great joy for every single one of us. And we give you thanks in the name of the one that we love and that came for us. In Jesus' name, amen.